This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. This week, we're pleased to feature Gillespie School Superintendent, Assistant Superintendent Joe Thiemann, and Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce is here. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are you guys today?
Welcome. Well, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, you have to be great. The countdown's almost there.
Right. We're about 5 weeks, out from the end of another great school year.
And before we get to you, Joe, Let's start with Mickey. Mickey, give us a little update here as we start things off here on the Coal Country Chamber. I know this is a busy time. You've got the Italian-American Days right around the corner. You got the summer concert series after that, and then Black Diamond Day. So it's starting to pick up steam, isn't it?
It just started. As of this week, we're underway. We got e-cycling this Saturday in front of Bunnell City Hall from 9 to noon. We'll take anything with the cord. The only thing limitation we have is anything on a 32-inch or less TV. We'll take two. On anything above a 32 all the way up to an 80-inch TV, we'll take one. Mm-hmm. Because they got 31,000 pounds of equipment last week at another recycling, so they're kind of overloaded right now. And also in 2 weeks after that, May 10th on Saturday, or May 11th, whatever it is, the second Saturday in May, we have the Bill Bunnell's 4th annual craft fair in downtown Bunnell in the Civic Center there. It's on the inside, and they always have 45 or 50 vendors there.
Okay.
So we got them before the three big ones to kick off the summer.
All right, and you're wearing your Blues hat. Are we gonna take game four tonight?
Well, I heard a little story about you going to the first game.
I was at the first game, yes.
And you walked out after the first overtime, and you didn't stay for the triple overtime win.
Well,
and you, I have to get you on that because you took me on a task here one night.
Let me clarify. When you get up at 5 in the morning, you've got to be, priorities are in line.
I understand that. When it came to
I will clarify this. I was not the only one that left early.
Oh, I'm sure of that.
But when you get past 10 o'clock and you've got an hour and a half drive back to Hillsboro, you got to have priority.
I understand that. So. But downheart playoff fans cannot squawk if Ernie can't complain if you walk out in the triple overtime game.
But does it count? We did listen to it on the way back?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does help. But, when you leave a game and you paid $150 for a ticket, and very simply you left in the triple overtime, I ain't going to give you I'm not going to give you an inch there, sir.
When you get older, the
just
kind of gets tougher and tougher.
I know how it feels.
All right. So, but we do have a big game tonight. Hopefully they can pull it off.
We got to win one up there. Yep. That's all we have to do.
Absolutely. We'll get back with you momentarily on the show. Joe, let's turn things over to you. As we mentioned at the top of the program, the light at the end of the tunnel can be seen.
Yes, sir. Well, we're at that point where we're wrapping things up. I would point out that our juniors, not only our juniors, but juniors across the state are taking the PSAE today and tomorrow, Prairie State Achievement Exam. And day one is the ACT, the American College Test, that we probably all remember. So we wish our juniors luck and all those across the state. This is a big day for them. And certainly our seniors are looking forward for us. It's Sunday, May 18th. Mm-hmm. Graduation is just around the corner, so we're excited for those young men and ladies.
How many students are going to be graduating?
I'm not sure of an exact number, but the last I heard was somewhere between 85 and 90, which is about the average for us year in, year out.
So do you have your autograph in hand ready to go? Because that's a lot of diplomas you have to sign.
Right, and but that's always a good thing because if you're signing those, it means that these young folks have done what they're supposed to do.
Another kid through the system and out in the free world.
Absolutely. So that's a good chore.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the Gillespie School District overall as we're kind of approaching the end of the year. Was the year a success?
It's been great. On the non-academic side, it's been dominated by our construction projects. primarily our gymnasium.
Really? I haven't heard you guys had.
You haven't heard that, huh?
No.
The good news is we've been tornado free since May 31st, but our gym
is near. We got another season coming.
We had another season coming, and we did have a weird freak kind of windstorm one Thursday night that caused some more damage to the back of the gym complex. But anyway, the gym itself is starting to finally take shape. I foresee by early June, mid-June, that'll be finished. And then we also have on the backside of our gym is our TV studio and some storage that's being rebuilt. We're close to it being finished. The concession stand at the football field, which was demolished, is now being rebuilt. It's brand new. It's just beautiful. And so things are finally coming together, and we believe certainly by the middle of summer that beautiful campus will be complete and we'll be ready to roll.
Now, you mentioned the concession stand. I mean, that seems to me like a simple process.
Right.
Is that something that you go to your industrial arts class and say, hey, this is what we want. Boom. Build it, or can you?
In this case, we did not. For one thing, this was an insurance claim. So we're directed.
You have to have a certified person.
Right. You have to have, you're talking architects, you're talking state code, you're talking a little bit different things. Do I think our construction kids can handle it? Absolutely. Mark Golisich, our instructor, and those kids have, of course, built two homes in the last 10 years, marketed and sold those on the open market. But in this case, that's an insurance claim. Time was of the essence in that regard, too. Remember that when you have industrial arts classes doing, that's 45 minutes at a time. Then a new group comes in, that's taking attendance. That's
right.
So it's a little bit different work day than it might normally be.
But I thought, man, that would be great hands-on experience if they could pull that off.
Sure.
But you're right about the insurance claim and that, because once they get the ball, it's world, and we're just a nut playing in it. So.
Yes.
Obviously, we were talking off air here a little bit. Education funding has always been the hot button issue.
Sure.
State Senator Andy Menard's got legislation that's moving through the Senate right now. It looks like it's on par for a vote in the Senate, and then whatever happens in the House, we'll wait and see.
Sure.
How concerned or how close of an eye are you looking at that situation?
I look at that situation with two close eyes. that's a daily, if not hourly, concern. Just to throw some quick stats at you, the past couple years we've been funded at only 89% of our state aid allotment. That's cost our district about $350,000 a year. Sometimes we hear the upcoming year it might be 82.5%, so you can do the math again how much that's going to cost our district. The big issue looming on the horizon is whether the legislature and the governor will extend the temporary income tax. We're hearing that if that does not take place, that expires at the end of the calendar year, that schools will take a major hit. So we've heard for our district anywhere from 1.3 to 1.5 million a year. That will be catastrophic, devastating, not only to our district, but everyone in the state. So you try to plan for that as best you can. So you look at ways of trying to save money of every hour of every day.
How do you plan for something like that? Do you go to the unions and say, hey, this is not the time to ask for raises right now.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, in our case, we've been blessed this past June. We've signed a four-year contract with our certificated staff, our teaching staff, and a four-year contract with our non-certificated, and we budgeted for that. However, the strategies that we try to employ are when teachers do retire.
Not to replace them?
Is there a way not to replace them, or do you replace them differently? Mm-hmm. If it's younger personnel, their salary is not as high, or you shift personnel. Just came out of a three-hour meeting with my three principals yesterday. How can we attack this issue? And you do it always with the idea in mind that you want to keep programs intact. Mm-hmm. You want to not lay off personnel if you don't have to. So one way is to do it that way. You know, the other way is on the non-personnel side, you look at every contract you have, and you try to renegotiate service contracts to save some money. And quite frankly, you ask all your personnel to do more with less, including myself.
And, of course, one of the big ones is transportation. I know, covering different school boards here, a lot of them have flat-out said if it's for state-sponsored things, we'll provide transportation. Other than that, you're on your own.
Sure.
And that's, especially for the parents, sometimes can be a tough pill to swallow.
That's, you know, that's a tough one. We've not gone that route yet in our district. It's something that we're looking at. So we've not really limited field trips or limited athletic contests yet. I know some surrounding districts have. It's not something that we're doing yet, but we're certainly looking at. There's a trend out there for athletics to have parents and or students transport themselves. I'm not a big fan of that, but the economic reality is that's something we may have to approach down the road. I hope I never have to do that. I'd rather have a student on a school bus any day.
And, of course, that just adds to it with the parents because they're already paying sure. whatever it is on their property taxes to go towards the school. And right. now it's like, guess what? Now you got to pay $360 for sure. gas to take Joey to Peoria for right. a tournament.
Absolutely. And yeah. it's a burden on parents, I agree.
Let's talk a little bit. We kind of hinted a little bit here, kind of moving around here. A lot has been discussed here. We were talking about this mm-hmm. off the air about consolidation. Locally here in Montgomery County, Panhandle Morrisonville mm-hmm. had the consolidation. That failed. Macoupin County, you had the situation. Girard Verdon. Staunton had the tax referendum that failed. Are we looking at a scenario here? And I'm not saying Staunton Gillespie merge sure. or anything. I'll make that perfectly clear here. But are we looking at a situation where that consolidation word is going to become more prevalent if a solution isn't found quickly?
Well, I think you could look at that two ways. From our district locally, I don't foresee that happening in the near future. What has happened, and I'll give you a good example here in a second, is our districts get together. Mm-hmm. How can we share services? For example, we work with the Staunton School District for our FFA kids. Often might be 15 kids, 20 kids. Staunton may have 15 or 20. We share a bus. If the FFA activity is south, generally we will stop at Staunton and pick up their kids, share the cost of that bus. If the FFA activity is north, Staunton will come to Gillespie, pick up our kids. We do it with Scholar Bowl kids as well, or Scholar Bowl competition. So we're looking more in that area. However, consolidation is always an option. It's always out there, but we've had no serious discussions with any district. I don't foresee our district going that route, certainly in the next decade or so, but I would never say never.
And that's a tough sell because I'll admit I made the mistake when the Morrisonville Panhandle thing. Mm-hmm. If you looked at it, if it was majority rules, that passed.
Sure.
2-1. But you take the percentage of that Morrisonville and Panhandle, mm-hmm. that's where it broke off.
Right.
I mean, that's a tough sell.
It's incredibly tough for a town to lose a school, particularly a high school. Most consolidations, generally, you're going to retain an elementary school. You're going to consolidate your middle school students to go to one community, your high school students to go to a different community. For a community that's had a high school for 50, 75, 100, 125 years, that is incredibly difficult for people to accept. And I respect that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I understand that. However, economic reality down the road may mean that more schools do consolidate.
And, you know, the toughest thing to kill is a school mascot.
Because absolutely.
In Gillespie, there are a lot of proud Miners out there. And Staunton, there's a lot of proud Bulldogs out there.
Sure.
Hillsboro, there's a lot of proud Hilltoppers out there. This is not an easy fix.
And it never is. But economic reality is what it is. First and foremost, as a superintendent, you have a fiscal responsibility to your Board of Education, to your taxpayers, and to your citizens. And those are tough choices. Anytime that you lose personnel, you talk about consolidation, you cut services, and if programs are affected, those are decisions not made lightly. In fact, years of thinking go into those.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the Board of Education makes tough choices.
And one thing I will say about the school districts, especially in this area, is they seem to work together. I'll do this case in point here. Gillespie was supposed to hold the county basketball tournament
right.
this year. It was your turn in the rotation.
Right.
But with the scenario with the pit and everything, Bunker Hill contacted you and said, you know what, we'll take it this year. You'll have our spot next
sure.
year. And then the following year, we're back at normal rotation.
Right.
that's a pretty good sign that you guys work well sure. together.
And, you know, in that case, once we didn't think our gym would be available, it took one phone call to Matt Smith, who's the high school principal over there. Matt's a great guy. Mm-hmm. And there was no question, sure, we'll take it this year, and then we'll take it next year. I would point out that Staunton, Gillespie, Mount Olive, and Bunker Hill are in a special education co-op. Mm-hmm. So those four superintendents meet on a monthly basis to talk about a lot of things other than special ed services. So it's natural for those four districts work together on a multitude of things to either share. For example, we purchase fuel together. We purchase milk together as a co-op. We purchase paper products together as a co-op. So those are things that we want to expand. So I meet with those three gentlemen on a monthly basis, and it's just been a great relationship.
Let's talk a little bit about the pit. You kind of hinted about it. Construction sure. is still, I guess, now back on track a little bit. Where are we at on the gym?
Well, as far as the gym itself, the exterior is almost finished. If you were to drive by now, I drove by late last night. We still have two windows to put in the front and the doors, but the brick and the masonry mm-hmm. have been matched almost perfectly to what it was before. They've done an amazing job there. The metal side panels that go along, get my directions correct here, the west side, they're installing. Inside has been a little bit slower process. There's been a lot of concrete floors poured. I will say on the end that was damaged when people come into the gym, it has a bit of a new look. There's a little bit more space now on the end. You might remember when you shot a layup, it was like a hockey rink. You could run into the boards, mm-hmm. or and there was just a small hallway. That's opened up on the end. There's a little bit different design, much like we did in 2006 on the south end, where we removed seating down there to gain some space. So we're excited about that. As I mentioned earlier in the program, I'm going to guesstimate mid-June. By the time it gets cleaned up, passes inspection, probably early July before we can actually have some summer activities inside.
Now, are you going to have a big open house? Are you going to wait till like next year when the volleyball team plays in the gym and do something special that way?
Yeah, I think at some point we will have an open house, probably on a Sunday afternoon where people can kind of come in and take a look. And by the time, honestly, that's functional and ready to roll, volleyball practice starts, I think, mid-August.
Right.
So we're going to be, somewhat close to that anyway. So we'll be excited for that.
And they'll make it special for the volleyball team.
Absolutely.
And even the basketball
sure.
team. You could have a special thing about welcome back to the pit or something along
Absolutely.
Those lines.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad to see that back in operation.
It's going to be great.
So, but it sounds like everything is going well with the school district.
Great.
The Bunnell School, what's going on? Has that been completely demolished?
No.
What's an update on that?
Well, the update hasn't changed much in recent months. Whether our viewers or listeners, are aware or not,
right?
We're involved in a lawsuit. We filed suit against Union Pacific, who owns the coal mining rights to the school that we lost. We started to demolish that building. There was an injunction issued in which said we could not. So a judge is still waiting to see how this other lawsuit goes. We're hoping in the next month, 6 weeks, to get the clearance to go ahead and have the rest of that demolished. So it sits. There's been really no progress made on that in the last 6 months or so.
Has there been any more damage inside the building? I mean, because I know it started off with a crack, and then all of a sudden all heck broke loose.
Sure.
Has there been any more extensive damage since that time?
It continues to move.
Okay.
Albeit, partial inches at a time, and I'm not aware of any additional major damage. There wasn't a whole lot left to damage, but it's certainly a building that needs to come down, and we're hoping we're going to see some resolution quickly on that.
Attendance at Gillespie, you made a mention. You've got the graduation
mm-hmm.
coming up. What's attendance figures look like moving forward?
We're pretty stable district and have grown a little bit in recent years. We're always in it about anywhere from 1,200 to 1,300 students. We believe when our campus is complete with our brand new state-of-the-art elementary school that our attendance will pick up. But we've not lost attendance like some surrounding districts have. We've remained fairly stable.
Okay. And that's always good to hear.
Yes, it is.
Joe, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for the updates on what's going on with the Gillespie School District. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure being here. Appreciate
it. Mickey, I promised you 3 minutes. 3 minutes is on the clock. Go.
Okay, fine. I just wanted to thank Joe. We can look at the old elementary school there, and we're always puzzled about that. And I appreciate it because the neighbors always come to me because they know I'm connected with the chamber and the school. And now I can update him a little bit more than I have been able to. The things that we're going to have coming up is, like I said, the e-cycling thing this Saturday morning at the Bunnell City Hall. Bring anything you want with a cord attached, we'll take.
Okay.
Then 2 weeks later on Saturday, May 10th, we have the Bill Bunnell has that craft of fair show at the Bunnell Civic Center, and that goes all day. There's food. There's over almost 50 booths there, and it's something to kick off the spring. Then we go into May where we have the Italian-American Day's four-day Memorial Day weekend. It's kind of a little bit later this year, the last weekend of the month. And when that's over,
so you're gonna put the Sirocco boys to work, huh?
Oh, they do it. They're already working. They've been working at it for 4 months already.
Have they made improvements to the park, Gary?
This year, not as much as they did in the last couple of years.
Right.
I turned down the old Quantet, and then they built the whole new one. The whole new one that was just overwhelming everybody last year. And of course, the city blacktopped the center path in the right around the pavilions and everything, and made more improvements there. This year, I'm not for sure because I haven't talked to Ed or Jerry at all on it.
Okay.
Then the following week, we start with the summer concert on the first Tuesday in June. Every Tuesday in June and every Tuesday in July, we have a concert going, and the bands are all in place with everything.
Okay.
And then the following weekend, June 6th, 7th, and 8th, we have the Black Diamond Days with their whole three-day match with the biggest thing of the parade on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Okay. So it's hard to believe parade season. Black Diamond Days parade.
Oh, yeah.
Right around the corner. Mickey, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you again for your time. Joe, as always, thank you again. Hopefully Mother Nature is kind this year for you guys.
I sure hope so. Thank you.
And coming up next week on the program, Carlinville Mayor Deanna DiMuzio will be our guest. We'll talk with you then. Until then, so long.